Welcome to the Back in Time podcast with Kyle and JD, where every week we jump into our DeLorean, cruise to 88 miles per hour, and travel back in time to review our favorite films from all genres and bring you celebrity interviews every single week.
Very good, Lewis. Short but pointless.
Pizza dude's got 30 seconds.
You want me to yank you out of that seat and shake it out of you?
I don't have it. Screws fall out all the time. The world's an imperfect place.
And now, here is your host, Kyle Autry, and his co-host, JD.
Welcome back to the Back in Time podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Autry, joined by my co-host, JD. JD, how are you tonight?
I feel like this severe pain in my hands and my ankles and maybe even around my neck for some random reason. Did somebody misuse and abuse me in a past life? I don't know. What movie are we talking about tonight?
Saw 3, my man.
Ooh, that's what it is. A lot of twisting and splintering bones.
Yeah, this is going to be an interesting one, as we've kind of texted throughout the day. So, yeah, strap yourselves in. It's going to be fun, I think. Now, before we dive into Saw 3, I want to thank you guys for hitting the download button on today's podcast. And you can just hit that subscribe button for us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, CastBox, IGTV, and YouTube. That will make sure that you guys never miss an episode. And while you're at it, drop us a 5-star review. We need those reviews. That's what helps us move up in the iTunes rankings, and that's going to help us continue to grow. Now, JD, let's travel back to last week. You know, as we've talked about throughout the month, this has been the Back in Time Horror Movie Podcast Month. We've done it every year so far. And let's talk about last week's episode. We got into Halloween 3, Season of the Witch. What was your feedback on our Season of the Witch episode?
I feel like everybody had the same sort of response that you and I had. Either they have already seen it and realized that, like, this is a legit movie standing on its own legs, or they watched it for the first time and they were like, yeah, wow, this is not a throwaway movie. And I think we both came into this thinking, like, with no excitement.
And yeah, almost didn't even want to do it. We were like, oh God, why did this win the poll topic?
Well, and to transition from Halloween 3 to Saw 3, I would rather watch Halloween 3 again.
I would watch Season of the Witch 3 times in a row before I would watch this again once.
Ugh.
Yeah, that's a lot of listening to that freaking song. One more day to Halloween, Halloween, Halloween. Literally, dude, it's one more day. But when you guys are listening to this, it probably is Halloween. So happy Halloween, everybody. Or happy
no more days
day after.
Halloween, Halloween, Halloween.
Oh, okay. You done?
The Silver Shamrock.
There you go. Well, yeah, while we're talking about other things than Saw 3, what's going on with the blog, man? Anything new over at backintimepod.com?
Wrangling a few articles up. I don't have anything, and I haven't gotten any feedback from anybody about what we should do next, but I've got a few ideas that I really want to tinker with, and I encourage you, audience, what do you want us to write about? So especially going from Halloween, Halloween, Halloween season into Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving, turkey time, and then Christmas. We have a lot of great subjects that we can sort of hit on. But let's really dive into this.
Yeah, and if you want to leave us some feedback, you can do that over at Back in Time Pod on Twitter and Instagram. And then if you want to message JD, you can do that at Unjust Justin. Also, I think Paranormal Pat did drop us an idea for the blog. You probably just haven't saw it yet, so I'll tag you on that. But yeah, I think we did have an idea or two come through.
Oh, we'll check fantastic. That out. Yeah, I just I must have totally missed that. So yeah, lay it on me. Pass it on. And your ideas, audience, are never overlooked.
Awesome. Well, let's get into the reason we're here. Saw 3. This is a 2006 American horror film directed by Darren Lynn Bozeman with a screenplay by Lee Wainwright and story by James Wan. It is the third installment in the Saw franchise and stars Tobin Bell, Shawnee Smith, Angus McFadden, Bahar Simak, and Dina Mayer. The story follows Jeff, a man who, after his son is killed by a drunk driver, is put through a series of tests by Jigsaw in order to try and get him to let go of his vengeance for the man that killed his son. Meanwhile, the bedridden John Kramer, aka Jigsaw, has his apprentice, Amanda Young, kidnap Dr. Lynn Denlin, who is tasked with trying to keep him alive one final test before he dies. JD, we talked about this on the teaser. I know this was a movie that we both saw in theaters. What do you think of the general like outline of this story? Do you like it? Do you think it's weak, lazy? What do you think?
On paper, I think that it seems at least a little bit exciting.
Okay.
And I'm interested in discussing how that translates onto film, but at the same time, like, it's a Saw movie, it's a Saw franchise, you have a little bit of predetermined exposition ready to go.
Right. Yeah, I think the story, like you said, on paper, does sound, I think it sounds good when you talk about it like I just did, but I guess let's start with development. So this began right after the opening of Saw 2, which was really successful. Filming took place in Toronto from May to June 2016, and Wainwright aimed to make the story more emotional than the previous installments, particularly with Amanda in the Jigsaw storyline. The film is dedicated to producer Greg Hoffman, who died in December of the year before. So I like that they had the idea of more emotion. I'm not sure that it ever really gets there, which we'll talk about during the movie. But yeah, I mean, as we discussed on the teaser trailer, really successful movie, over 160 million worldwide, was not met with the greatest response from the critic. Again, I would check out the teaser trailer episode if you want to hear more about that. We will break it down. But Tobin Bell did get nominated for Best Villain at the 2007 MTV Movie Awards and then received nominations for a Saturn for the Best Horror Film in 2007. I guess a light competition, we might say.
What else was on the market?
I can't really recall 2007. Yeah, I'd have to look into that one. I don't know. Maybe Scary Movie 4? Hey, interesting fact. The bathroom set that they use in this movie is actually the same exact one used in Scary Movie 4, which was making fun of the Saw franchise. How about that?
Full circle.
Well, 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
So meta.
I love it. Kevin Bacon, though. We haven't done a Kevin Bacon movie. That's got to be a goal. You got to get that. I'm going to go for the air up there. Basketball.
You would.
I love it.
Not surprised.
Okay. Well, let's take a break. We'll come back on the other side here, and we are going to break down Saw 3 in its entirety. Talk to you guys in a minute.
Is your cell phone bill out of control? Then this is your wake-up call. The new TracFone Wireless gives you unlimited talk and text starting at $20 a month, no contract, plus unlimited carryover data with active service. Yep, the new TracFone Wireless. Now you're in control. See terms and conditions at TracFone.com.
You hate shit, I hate shit. Angry Dad Podcast. Dumbasses make you mad, I get mad. Angry Dad Podcast. Need help getting your lazy ass up to do shit? Angry Dad Podcast. Want to hear my crazy stories on Friday? Angry Dad Podcast. You can find me on Spreaker, Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Play. Want to watch Angry Dad Podcast? IGTV, YouTube. You can find me at Beat of the Fourth Power on every social media. Check me out.
always living. Always living. Always living.
We are back from the break. Let's begin here. We're in the bathroom where the first movie took place, the ending, and also the ending of Saw 2. We see Eric is on the ground, and he's trying to reach for his gun, and he pulls out. I guess we pull out a clip to see that it's empty. The gun isn't even loaded, so all that work, really no payoff there for him. JD, I do like that it picks up where the last one ended. I think it's good continuation. I like the continuity. What did you think?
Yeah, I think that this franchise definitely gets muddled along the way, but in terms of part one, part two, and part three, it's a good pickup.
Of course, Daniel's going to have to mangle his foot here and then break it, which is pretty brutal, to slide it out of the shackle. And then we get the title screen, Saw 3, pop up on our screen. We cut to the SWAT team busting into a home, and Rick pulls off his helmet and says, someone needs to call Carrie. And when she arrives, she wants to know if it's him, thinking it's Daniel. We see it's a murder scene. We get our first trap, and this poor dude's name is Troy. He's got chains hooked up to his entire body. So in order to escape, he's going to have to pull each chain out of it from the skin. It's attached to his skin. And basically mutilate himself here. Of course, Troy is not able to free himself in time. We see the remains laying on the floor here. JD, what do you think of this first kill scene here?
I tried to put myself in dude's position and wonder what I would do if I had these metal circles connected to my body. Would you... I don't know that I would be able to. I think I would be like, just bring on the bomb. Shit just, sucks. Just kill me.
It's just me yelling, whose dick do I need to suck? Please. Why did I go to the... I don't know why I went to that. But that would be my fallback.
Well, that's kind of your go-to. Not a fallback. It's a go-to.
Yeah. Potato penis. Now, I will say this. This new cop here, which we get very little of in this movie, I don't like this guy at all. I'm talking about Hoffman. Did you get any vibes from him? He was kind of a creep.
Yeah, but he... Not to fast forward, but he plays a part, right?
He plays a part in the next movie. This is really the only scene with Hoffman that I can remember in the film.
But he seems like he's up to no good. I would not let him make my biscuits and gravy.
I wouldn't either. I think it's pretty clever. I mean, they must have already planned out the next movie, because I feel like they kind of laid a little bit of the foundation with this one. Do you agree with that? Or do you think this is just a one-off and then they went back and they're like, ooh, this guy's terrific?
No, I think you're right. They definitely... knew what they were doing and what they were getting themselves into, but it's underperforming to see it for the first time in this film, to be like this throwaway character. Like, what of it?
Okay. Now, Carrie wants to know how they got in here, and she makes a great point that with Jigsaw's game, there's always a way out, and it doesn't appear that there's any way out of this room because it was literally... welded shut. She tells Riggs that she's been having these nightmares and yada yada yada. But I thought that was a great point by Carrie. And then we're going to cut to her apartment where she is watching tape from the crime scene. When she's watching the TV, a live feed pops up on her TV of her own bedroom. So she goes into the closet to inspect. And then as she finally gets to the camera in the background, we see that familiar pig face. Old piggy face. JD, what do you think of this scene?
Love old piggy face. That's such a great way of putting it. But I think this scene was so cryptic, yet at the same time so like delivering. Because like you see the TV screen change and you're like, oh, that's of her bed. Oh, don't go into the closet. You've got a gun. Like you can just solve all of her problems before she even encounters a single one of them, and then whammy.
No, I think you make a great point there, and I can remember in the theater when this was happening, how tense it got and how, like, you know, a lot of people were just like, oh no, behind you, like, just shouting out. And I'm always like, shh, eating my Skittles.
Kind of my prime problem with this movie is it is essentially a setup of situational moments, almost vignettes of a story. Like,
yeah,
this scene in itself is a short horror.
I think a lot of this movie feels like kind of short horror films.
Yes.
One after another.
It's weaved and stitched together.
Yep. Carrie has been captured. She wakes up and she is now in a trap. This one is called the Angel Trap. So basically, she's suspended from the floor. She's got on this leather harness, and then it's attached to her back. And then it has six different brackets that are actually hooked into her ribcage. And then once the game begins, she's got 60 seconds to free herself by retrieving a key that is in a beaker filled with acid. And then if she can get it to not open up her entire ribcage, she might live. But let's listen to our first clip and let's hear from Jigsaw. JD, that's the end of Carrie. I got to be honest, I'm shocked she lasted three movies. What'd you think of this brutal scene, though?
It seemed like such a throwaway. Like,
yeah,
it just seemed like it was so, and I, like you said, end of three movies, build up, and it just seemed like a 16-year-old just schlocking his schlugen and just, boom, done.
Mm-hmm.
I did not buy the payoff.
Okay. Gotcha. Now, we're going to meet another character here, another new character, Lynn Denlin. She's a doctor, and she finds out right before she has to leave for a shift that her husband wants a divorce, and she just, like, turns and leaves, really doesn't say much. JD, what did you think of Lynn, played by Bahar Simak?
I enjoyed her performance, for sure, and I think that this scene measures very powerfully against its foil scene later on in the movie, but mm-hmm. I really sort of knew everything that this movie was doing instantly.
Right.
I was like, there's no secret to what's happening. Like, this is not like, okay, can we just get to the end of this 2-hour movie? Like, how is this movie 2 hours long?
I was so thrown off by that. When I popped it in and I hit pause for the first time, and I was like, okay, I'm about 15 minutes in, probably have about an hour left or so, hour 10 minutes. I was like, 15 out of 1 hour and 54. I was like, huh? What? So that totally threw me for a loop. I also, this next scene here, kind of a throwaway scene, but she's just kind of in the hospital. She's having a pity party in the locker room. And then she's like all nonchalant here as she goes to save this kid and puts a chest tube in him. And then she gets lectured by the nurse. First off, nurse, know your line, know your order in the pecking order, I should say. You're not yelling at a doctor and keeping your job like that. I don't know. I mean, at this point, we're 20 minutes into the movie. I don't know that there's actually a plot at this point, other than just like we texted about earlier in the day. It just feels like, let's think of a different situation.
It's a mixture of an episode of ER, and at the same time, like, just bashing it together with the Saw movie. Mm-hmm. Almost like mixing some House in there, but like, there's no build up and payoff to this scenario where you have this nurse being like, oh, you should have come right away, because it's like, I don't know who you are. Right. You have no idea who this character is. And so now you're saying like they should have came right away rushing. Mm-hmm. It's focusing too heavily on exposition and not enough on character development.
Agreed. Lynn's going to get attacked by the piggy next. And then we enter this big warehouse. That's where we meet Amanda, and we see Lynn is gagged, tied to a chair, and then Jigsaw on his medical bed here, not doing well at all. Amanda pulls out a knife, but puts it away as long as Lynn promises to behave. And then Jigsaw says, you may not remember me, but I certainly remember you. He says that he was a guest at her hospital, and then Amanda hands her over the medical report. Lynn says, I've seen you on television. Lawrence Gordon was your doctor. He says that he's very sick, and she agrees with that. And she sees that he has a frontal lobe tumor, which is inoperable, and he tells her not to speak on him with this medical school jargon. He wants her to give it to him straight, and she's like, all right, yeah, you don't have long to live here. JD, I'll say this. It's certainly, he looks really sick, so well done by the makeup department and Tobin Bell here. I'm definitely buying it. He tells her he wants to play a game. But again, it's all a little bit confusing and feels a little bit forced to me with what's going on.
Oh, it totally is. It's just stitched together. It just, a lot of it doesn't have the proper build up to lead into the payoff, mm-hmm. which we'll get into when we get to the end game of the film.
So he's going to tell her that he wants her to play a game. She's going to be tested, and her job is to keep him alive for as long as she can. Amanda locks on a device, and Jigsaw says, the collar you're wearing is linked to my heart rate monitor. If I die, you die. Now, we're going to meet a new character next, Jeff, played by Angus McFadden, who's probably best known for the movie Braveheart, where he plays Robert the Bruce, and he's also the narrator of Braveheart. I did not know that. That surprised the crap out of me here. Did you know that, JD?
No, I thought he was just Fat Ted Mosby.
Okay. Oh my gosh, is he Fat Ted Mosby?
I think he's Fat Ted Mosby.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. Suit up! I love that show. I need to watch that show again. I wonder if it's still on Netflix. For now, start from the very beginning.
Yeah, do it.
Is it on Netflix?
It used to be.
Okay. I'm checking that. Just another side note here, other than him being Robert the Bruce, he was also nominated for a Scream King Award for this movie. So apparently others thought he did a great job. We listened to the recording from Jigsaw as Jeff is trapped inside this box. In order to escape, he has to find a way through the building and face a series of tests in order to overcome his obsession with revenge for the death of his son, Dylan, who died in a car accident. And if he didn't complete the game within 2 hours, the doors of the building would be locked and he'd be left to die in the meatpacking plant. JD, we also see Jeff has kind of lost his mind here. He's in his son's bedroom with a gun, talking to himself, going into his daughter's room, who can't be more than maybe 10 years old, and taking away his son's teddy bear from her. And then he kind of like lectures her. I mean, clearly Jeff is not well. What do you think about him just as a character?
Yeah, Jeff has a lot of mental issues. Jeff is very disturbed, but mm-hmm. I couldn't help but make like the connection between this and Taxi Driver.
Oh, okay. Great. I mean, this is the one thing that they really did put some time into as far as like the storyline. So
yeah, they developed and they prepared Jif to have a lot of different depth to him. But again, he's Travis Bickle right here, is he not?
He's very Bickle. Would you assume that Jigsaw has some serious cash here? Because this meat packing plant is like the size of a Walmart. Like, I mean, he has to own this property, doesn't he?
That's my big, like, complaint about this movie. And, like just the logistics about him and what he does and how he gets people and, like, how he, like... I just, if I were in a trap with him, I'd be like, look, asshole, just screw you. You're an asshole. You didn't judge me, just kill me.
Jeff gets his first clue, and then we cut back to Jigsaw and Amanda. She's watching everything on the monitor, and Lynn is taking care of Jigsaw. Amanda walks over and tells him that it's began. He's out of the box. And then Lynn tells Amanda that his brain is herniating, and he needs to go to the hospital. Amanda snatches her by the head and like whispers into her ear in her archives. I mean, I didn't bring him to the hospital. I brought you to him. And then she calls her a stupid cunt. And then Jigsaw yells at Amanda and then starts to have a massive seizure where he's spitting out blood. Looks like it might be the end of old Jigsaw here, but Lynn really saves the day and then runs out to tell Amanda, okay, he needs to have an operation. And Amanda, who is bawling her eyes out at this point, is like, yeah, he'll get whatever he needs. And then meanwhile, we cut to Jeff, who's going through this maze. And he gets to the first door, and it tells him to face his fears. He enters this, like, icebox-type room. We find a naked woman hanging from the ceiling. She's freezing to death. We find out her name is Danica. So she's hung by the wrist. And then she's positioned right and left. There's like these two vertical metal poles. Each of them have nozzles that are aimed right at her. And then connected to each nozzle is a long hose. It's connected to the room's water supply. So she's literally going to freeze to death here if Jeff is not able to get the key and unlock the chains here. JD, I have to say, maybe the hardest nips I've ever seen in my life. What do you think of Danica frozen as a popsicle here as Jeff gets part of his face ripped off trying to help her out?
Yeah, I love the setup that they do because there's a giant arc to be had for Jif's character. Obviously, I keep saying Jif on purpose because Jif Brody.
Yeah.
Look it up. Google it. No E. But it's critical to realize that, like, in his first encounter, he is so against saving this woman. And then all of a sudden she becomes a popsicle. It was like there's like one spray, she's fine. Two sprays, she's fine. Third spray, popsicle.
Honestly, I was waiting for Arnold Schwarzenegger to come on and be like, chill. Like, gosh, so great. Think we'll ever do Batman and Robin? I think we will.
I know we will.
It's got
to
happen.
We have to. It has to happen.
It's got to happen. All right. Well, Amanda and Lynn talk next. Lynn again expresses her thoughts that she isn't equipped to try and save a life in this warehouse. Amanda says, you'd be surprised what tools can help save a life. And then we have a bunch of flashback scenes with the first time she met Jigsaw. Jeff has arrived at the next door. It says, time to let go. This trap is called the pig vat. Basically, the way this thing works is it's like a giant blender, and it's Judge Holden, who's basically collared by the neck at the bottom of this big old like cylinder type looking thing. And then there's a conveyor like contraption on the ceiling. And once it begins, it sends a rotten pig carcass over the conveyor, drops it over all these saws, and just drops this like stinking pulp that just goes right over the top of Judge Holden's body. So basically, Jeff's going to have to burn all of his son's memorabilia of his dead son, which he really wants to hang on to. And he's going to have to do that so he can activate the furnace, which will burn all the things except for the key, which will drop out of the incinerator into the ash container. So, JD, this, of course, is the first person that Jeff actually saves as he pulls up the judge just seconds before he would have started to have to drink that pig juice. What'd you think of this?
I hated this scene. It was so... I could taste the pig juice, right?
I know. I agree. You know who doesn't hate this? Tobin Bell. It's his favorite trap in the entire series for Saw.
Oh, it's a horrifying, just gory. And you watch it and you can literally taste the rancid pig. It's so bad. Mm-hmm. And I don't know who it's worse for, because Jeff has to jump in there and relieve the Judge Reinhold from his captivity. And it's like, I would be puking all Santa Claus in our archives.
Hey, did we make this? It's a nice sweater. We cut back to Amanda, Lynn, and Jigsaw. Lynn is going to do a surgery here to relieve the pressure, which should stop his headaches and improve his motor skills. This is a crazy looking scene here. This was one of those I can remember vividly being in the theater, and this was hard for me to watch. I mean, she's taking a saw and cutting into his skull as he's still awake and just sitting there like, like, he doesn't say much. He's just like, never better, doctor. Like, you know, what do you think of this crazy scene?
Wow. I like your impression. That was pretty spot on.
I didn't say the doctor part right, but I did have the part right.
Yeah, you do a good Tobin, but it's so like intricate, and the attention to detail is so specific that it's very horrifying. I don't want to watch this scene. I don't like it.
Yeah. Also, interesting little plot twist here. Jigsaw telling Lynn that he loves her. I thought he was kind of thinking of his wife, Jill, because there's a flashback to her, which she'll come back in later movies. But all this attention that Lynn's getting is making Amanda really jealous, to the point where she goes running into her room and pulls out this cutting kit, which she ultimately doesn't use, but she just kind of like slaps it to the floor. I don't know. We've got another flashback scene here of Amanda killing Adam from the original Saw. Now, Adam, of course, played by Lee Wainwright, is the writer and co-creator of the Saw franchise. And I just thought this was a nice little side story. It kind of gets him in the movie. And then, I don't know, what did you think of this?
I thought it was useless banter to fill up and bloat out the overall story.
Mm-hmm. It does lay a little bit of a seed, though, for the ending, which I like. Now, we arrive at the next door. It says, here is your chance. The judge is trying to talk some sense into Jeff, but let's listen to this clip here as we find out what the next trap is.
Hello, Jeff. If you are listening to this, that means that the confrontation you so long dreamed of is finally unfolding.
Do something!
In your head, he is a cipher, a symbol of your life changing, a symbol of death. I present him to you now as a simple human being. His name is Timothy Young. He's 27 years old, a medical student, with a mother and a father just like you. A man whose life also changed the day your son died. Box is a key. It's time to
JD, he may have saved the judge the first time, but the second time he accidentally blows his head off, and he's not going to save old Timothy either as he's twisted and turned to his death. What do you think of this scene?
First of all, watching dude's bones splinter was horrifying. I hated it. I did not like seeing that, and it happened so quick that you can't tell the difference between practical effects and CGI.
Mm-hmm.
But if you like really squint your eyes, you're like, oh, okay, that looks really fake. So it goes.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I don't know, it's just a brutal scene. Like this, even just listening to the sound on this is tough. I mean, this guy, just dude, is just screaming his head off as we hear just stuff breaking.
And then the payoff of him pulling the key off of the little chain and old Judge Reinhold getting his face blasted into Harvey Dent. I felt so bad. I was just like, oh, it's convenient to the plot. Same time, just disgusting.
He did kind of have a little Aaron Eckhart Two-Face going with that buckshot to the face.
No, he did. Like, if only he were in a different movie, he would be assistant district attorney.
Okay. When we come back to Lynn and Jigsaw talking, he wants to know more about her husband. And she's like, ah, you know, we're strangers now. The last time I saw him, we were really disconnected. She tells him that she doesn't know what he thinks, but her marriage has seen more suffering than he can even imagine. And Jigsaw's like, ah, I tend to disagree about that. Amanda enters the room and sees Jigsaw holding Lynn's hand, and he tells her that one day she will thank him. She begs to be let go, and John says maybe her life isn't the one that needs to be saved after all. He wants to know why she's living for the dead when she has a daughter that needs a mother. And then Amanda enters and says that he's completed the third test. And Jigsaw says, okay, Lynn is free to go. Unlock her collar and let her out of here. Jigsaw tells her that she's more important than you know, and he reminds Amanda that there are rules. We got some flashbacks here of her killing Eric and some other victims. And important to remember here, Jigsaw's mentioned this over the course of the three movie. He hates murderers. That's what she was doing to these guys. Now we cut to Jeff making his way through the plant. Amanda is freaking out and not listening to Jigsaw. He keeps assuring her that Lynn isn't important. She's important to him, not her. Amanda says that she's nothing to her, and he begs her to reconsider that. Jeff finally enters the room, and unfortunately, it's right when Amanda gets shot. And then, right when Amanda shoots Lynn. And then Jeff grabs his wife and then the gun and shoots Amanda right in the neck. And then we have all these flashback scenes, and we find out what was said to Lynn was really meant for Amanda the whole time. JD, what do you think about that?
Yawn.
You didn't like it, huh?
No, it's just so like passive aggressive in terms of storytelling that you go through all of this take and you give your emotion to a character, and then to have the rug pulled out and to be like, everything that you thought you knew was pointless.
Yeah.
You don't have to watch this movie. You can watch the last 10 minutes and get what the cadence of what they were trying to deliver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that he didn't tell her that Lynn and Jeff were married. So she didn't even know that they knew each other. And then all she had to do was let Lynn live and remove her collar, and everything would have been fine. But of course she doesn't. So Amanda's now dead. She's bleeding out on the floor. And Jigsaw's just like, game over. Yeah, that's the end of Amanda. Now, we arrive at our fourth and final part of Jeff's journey. Let's listen to one final clip of the movie here.
Jeff, do not miscalculate. Your fate is in my hands. Your wife's fate is in my hands. see any threat. There are threats all around you. Jeff, if you try to move your wife, she will die. I can have an ambulance here in 4 minutes. Would you like to take your wife out of here tonight? Would you like to take her to safety? Stand and face me, Jeff.
Stay with me.
Right now. Would you like to get your life back? Would you, Jeff? We can make that happen. Which is it, Jeff? Come on. Yes or no?
Yes. What do you want?
One final test. The rules are simple. Over on that table is a host of vicious implements, which you can use to exact your pound of flesh, to take your vengeance, to indulge your obsession. Or you can choose to put your vengeance aside, and you can forgive.
So Jeff says that he forgives him, but then he picks up a saw and he's like, ring, 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 and just slices him right through the throat. And of course, as he's doing that, he didn't listen to the instructions. So the collar, which is tied to his heart rate monitor, is going to start to kill poor Lynn here. And then the final tape plays and says, this was the final test of forgiveness. I told you that you couldn't kill me, but I didn't tell you why. Only I know where your daughter is, and if you want to get her back, you will have to play a game. And then the scene fades out with Lynn yelling, Jeff! JD, what do you think about the end of the movie?
Gosh, like, I'm going to be completely honest with you. It's horrible.
Okay.
It's so faulty to set up, like, this level of trap. And then to just pull nothing out of nowhere. Your daughter is trapped and you can only save her, but you've killed me. Like, so it means that everything that has happened up until then is meaningless.
Okay.
Because that's not what the final trap door is. Like, we're waiting and we're experiencing and we're investing in our characters to accomplish A, B, and C. And then you find out that the end game is X, Y, and Z. So we saw the daughter in one scene.
Right.
Who gives a shit?
Okay. I think good points by you. I didn't hate the ending as much as you did. But yeah, I mean, it is kind of, it's almost exhausting because it's like, oh, there's another twist. Oh, this didn't pay off. This didn't pay off. So I definitely get where you're coming from with that. How do you rate Saw 3 compared to 1 and 2? Now that we've covered all three at this point.
I feel like the third movie is meant to be the capstone of a trilogy and a franchise.
Okay.
In that regard, I appreciate it and respect what they have done. I think the first movie is very inventive and very, very creative. I think the second movie ups the ante and does it in a unique way. And I think the third movie just sort of just bats around with the penis.
Okay. All right. Well, if you guys agree, let us know on social media. If you don't, let JD know at Unjust Justin what you think about his opinion. Now, we're going to be back next week, all new episodes. We're going to have Chris Clues back. We love Chris. He's been on the show several times. We are going to be talking about his new book, Volume 2 of What the 80s Teaches Us About Today's Workplace. So we're going to be talking about that. We're going to be doing a top 5. I haven't even told you about this, JD, but really excited. We're going to be doing top five most underrated 1980s movies. So that's going to be a fun list to put together and talk about. And then, as always, guys, subscribe to the show, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, CastBox, IGTV, and YouTube. You can follow us on the web at backintimepod.com, and then on social media at backintimepod, Twitter, Instagram, and then we are on Facebook as well. But for now, it's time to climb back into the DeLorean, punch in today's date, and return back to present day. Thanks for listening. Happy Halloween, and we will talk to you next week. See ya.
I want to play a game.
Pour me another drink.
Oh. David S. Pumpkins.